And welcome back to the Tuned In podcast. Here we are.
Yes, sir.
Another glorious summer day.
Right.
In the thick of the off season, I guess.
What a time to be alive, man. This is awesome.
You know, I guess this is the time of year I'm guessing you feel the same way. I'm more excited for football.
Yeah.
Seeing all the training camps and guys getting ready.
Yeah, preseason starting. College football is like less than a month away.
Yeah, it feels like football weather out there.
We just had summer. It kind of feels like sports in general are just kind of heating up right now. We're just like in anticipation. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you went camping this weekend. Was that
fun? It was fun, yeah. Nice to get out of the, put my phone down for a night. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you missed all the shams bombs that happened.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of it today, but I was like, dang, I didn't know this happened. You put it on there and I didn't even know.
Yeah, you miss one day in July and you're gone.
Shams will get you.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, we got a great episode today. Today we're going to do our top 25 players in the NBA list, which is exciting. We did it last year, so we'll be interested to see how things have changed over a year. And then we'll also dive into a little bit of Jazz news, getting us excited for the next season with the court and arena, and also our boy Phil Lepowski getting an award. And then we've also got some local sports and NBA news.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our past episodes. Recently, we've talked a lot about some exciting things in the Jazz future, so you want to go check those out. You can find them on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. This is episode 79 of Tuned In Jazz. All right. Well, a new star is born.
Oh, yes.
The star, the man, the myth, the legend, Kyle Filipowski, Summer League MVP. What do you think? Did he deserve it?
I actually didn't know. I thought for some reason the Summer League MVP was like the tournament MVP.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't expecting to win it, but yeah, totally he deserves it.
Well, he balled out.
He averaged the most points per game. Nobody could guard him. Yeah, sure.
He was getting those allegations about a month or a couple weeks ago of like that he was too good to be in the Summer League, and that's the highest compliment you can get in Summer League. So
yeah, I think that's good. I welcome that allegation. I just think that's just praise to a guy.
Yeah.
If you're too good.
We talked about how we still kind of want to see him improve defensively, but offensively, it seems like he made a pretty big leap forward.
Yep.
At least we saw glimpses last year, but really exciting, honestly.
Just,
lots to be excited about.
I think last time we talked about him, we didn't know he was going to win MVP.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago when we were recording. But I think the biggest thing for me when I was watching him is just the three-point shot.
Mm.
He's hitting at a high rate. He's a guy we can trust from three-point range. The Summer League team was running like J.J. Redick-type plays for him on the three-point line, which is cool. And also like his passing. We've known that last season that he can pass as well.
Yeah. I think it also shows we had a whole conversation about what position he actually is, but I think he did show us a little. Maybe there's a lineup we could run with him as a five in a certain scenario, maybe, obviously.
To score a lot of points.
Yeah, if you're trying, if you're playing against the Golden State Warriors who have Draymond as their center, I think we would be okay to have Kyle Filipowski out there against him. So
good to be versatile.
Absolutely.
And then we've also got new court and jerseys coming next season. We already knew the jerseys were coming for quite some time. The pure white one or powdered snow, whatever you want to call them.
So clean.
I know, dude. These are totally an upgrade from the last jerseys that we've had. What do you think of them overall?
Oh, I love them. I love the white. I think the white and the black ones, which I'm hoping the black ones will be like city edition or something like that.
Yeah, we'll keep them in the rotation.
Those look clean. I think the purple one's still growing on me, but I do think it looks really good. It's a big upgrade from some of them we had last year. So,
yeah, and it seems like those are going to be like our home and away, like association jerseys we wear all the time. It's good to finally wipe ourselves clean of those yellow jerseys.
Horrible.
Even like the black and yellow jerseys and the white and yellow jerseys, those are all gone. We don't have to worry about those anymore.
Absolutely.
I don't know. For me, it just feels nice to wipe a clean slate and have something new.
Well, another thing, another person who has a clean slate, been wiped gone from the Jazz, Johnny Juzang.
Our boy.
man, the Wolves just keep on, I guess we're their farm team at this point. That's kind of what it feels like. I guess they just become the Minnesota Jazz over there. But good for Johnny Juzang. I think he's had a hard time finding minutes on our team, but I think he could be a good player for a team, I think.
Yeah, Shams, when he tweeted this news, he said Juzang has averaged 9 points a game, 38% from three in like 19 minutes a game. So
yeah,
he'll probably do the same thing in Minnesota. He'll come off the bench, play like 10 to 20 minutes and hit threes.
Absolutely.
I think every team loves that.
Absolutely. So I think that's kind of what Minnesota's lacking last year. Like, I kind of excited to see Terrence Shannon Jr. because he balled out in summer league as well.
Yeah,
but I think Johnny Juzang could go in and kind of fight him for some minutes there as far as the backup wing role that they're kind of trying to fill. So it's exciting for
him. Yeah, get your tickets for Johnny Juzang's revenge tour.
Right.
When the Timberwolves come to play, it seems like every year when the Timberwolves come to play, it's just watching two Jazz teams.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we'll be excited to see him in that jersey, I guess.
Absolutely.
And then Clarkson, our boy, is leaving Utah. He's given away all of his clothes
to the public.
Well, yeah, for a price, but yeah, he's got a closet sale going on. That's so cool.
That is dope. Yeah. I don't know if me and Jordan Clarkson have the same style, but I respect him for that. That's
it seems
sick.
Like he has like 1,000 different pieces that he's yeah, given away. So it's pretty insane.
I can imagine that. Wouldn't that be nice if every time you move, you could just sell everything and buy new stuff at your new place? That would be super nice. But
it sounds like to him, he's wanting some new stuff. So I guess. Yeah,
good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Big NBA news happening, like you said, while I was not.
This morning, yeah.
Yeah, this morning. Luka Doncic signs 3-year, $156 million extension with the Lakers. There was a lot of questions about if he liked being with the Lakers, but to me, the sense of message, he likes being there. They're building around him.
Pretty
exciting.
I actually think he could have got more money.
You think so?
Yeah, because, I mean, you just look at what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got from his team. He got like 70 mil a year.
Yeah.
And then also Devin Booker, same thing. He got like 70 mil a year.
Yeah.
Luka's getting like 52 million a year on average.
Ah, that's interesting.
So like, I feel like Luka's still we'll see on where he's at on the top 25 list in a minute.
Yeah.
But he's still a top player in the league. I think he could make just as much as Shai.
That's so true. And I keep seeing the you know, the classic summer Luka revenge body posts about how he's like working out, and you never know. It could be a Ben Simmons thing.
Yeah, do you think it's a Ben Simmons thing? Because I think it's a Ben Simmons thing.
You think so?
I don't want to overreact to
I didn't really ever buy into the he was like super out of shape thing. He never really looked that out of shape to me, but I think it was probably a little exaggerated.
There were times in the playoffs, though, where he seemed like he was gassed. Like,
that's true.
He couldn't run down the court as quickly, or he just left a guy for a fast break. Like, there was definitely some times I could have seen more effort.
Definitely. Yeah, I also think it's tough because Luka's the type of player that the ball runs through him every single play. Like, there's just hardly ever a play where the ball doesn't end up in his hands and he dribbles, try to size some guy up. So, I don't know. I'm excited, though. I think Lakers are building something interesting over there. So,
yeah, and I think hopefully next playoffs they won't have a game where he has to play 48 minutes.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Didn't he play, or maybe it was the entire second half, but either way, J.J. Redick's not riding with his bench.
No.
So hopefully they'll have at least some guys off the bench so that he doesn't have to play.
He has an actual center this year. We know Luka likes playing with lob threats, and I think Ayton could be that.
Yeah,
maybe
we'll see.
A little bit.
I remember, weren't we saying like Al Horford and Ayton were like about the same level?
Yeah, that's
different. They do different things, right? But yeah, we'll see. Ayton's definitely a guy that like I could see him having an improving year next to Luka, because Luka knows how to put
Luka
him in the right spots.
Luka and Bron are good at that if Bron plays.
But I wonder if Ayton's going to want to try and post up and Luka's going to kind of butt heads with him a little bit. So we'll see.
That is interesting. Well, speaking of DeAndre Ayton, I'm excited to see if he ends up on our top 25s. Just kidding. He won't end up on our top 25s.
Low key, he might have made it that one year when he was on the NBA Finals team. He might have made it in that
offseason. The year before, I think he averaged like a double-double. Like
20 and 10,
20
basically.
And 10, which is pretty solid.
I don't know. That year he might have made it, but ever since then, not.
Yeah, definitely not.
I definitely know Joe Ingles is making mine.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, so we both individually made our top 25s. I think it's what we did last year too, if I remember right. We'll see. I remember last year there was a couple where we were mostly together on like our top 10, but before that it was pretty far off.
Yeah, I agree. I think you had Ja Morant a lot higher than me last year.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it. I'm sure there will be some controversy.
Let's start with our honorable mentions, guys, that we're flirting with the list, but you couldn't justify putting on. Who did you have?
How many honorable mentions did you have?
Okay, I put 5. That's probably too many, but
I put 8.
Oh, okay, that's fair, that's fair.
So maybe I put too much as well.
No, you're good.
I put Siakam.
Oh, I left him. That's a good one. I probably
Jimmy Butler, even though like he's had a down year, he's a borderline honorable mention for me, honestly.
Yeah.
Ja Morant was an honorable mention.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Bam Adebayo.
Okay.
De'Aaron Fox.
Well, that's a good one, too.
Sabonis. I really want to put...
That's a good one, too.
I'm actually a big fan of Sabonis. Like, I was pretty close to having him. He might be 26 or 27. Chet Holmgren.
Okay.
And then I put, finally, James Harden.
Oh, okay. We had a lot of the same ones. I agree. Bam's just outside it for me. Chet's outside for me. I put James Harden as well. I put LaMelo Ball.
That's not a bad one.
I didn't put him in my top
25. He was injured a lot.
And this last one, some people might hate me for this one, but I'm a believer. I think Cooper Flagg is.
Oh,
I think he's in the like maybe the third, like late 20s, 30s range. That's my opinion, but we'll see what actually happens.
That's interesting. Do you think like what other players are in that range? Do you think Cooper Flagg might be better than Jimmy Butler than his first year? Possibly.
I think so.
Because Jimmy Butler's been a lot worse as of late.
Yeah, I think when we look back on the season, I think we're going to see that like this was the perfect situation for Cooper Flagg. Like, there's not really a lot of pressure on him. He's got Anthony Davis, and eventually Kyrie will come back.
And, I mean, hopefully Ace Bailey will be thinking about this after 2 years.
Yeah, he was going to be my next one, probably. Just kidding. He wasn't. But hopefully.
Okay, well, that makes it interesting, because I'm sure there's somebody on mine that maybe you left off.
Yeah.
So let's start with number 25. And I think another thing I want to point out is the way that I did my list is at least like which guys I feel like have the most trade value. Well, not necessarily trade value, like how much value they bring to their team. Like, can you be a number one guy carrying a team, or can you be a number two guy? Like, how much can I trust you to win us games is basically what I'm doing. And then we're putting a little bit of injury risk in here too, right?
That's kind of how I did mine, with the mindset of like, if I was a GM, what order would I draft these guys in if I was going to pick a guy to run or to be my star?
Okay.
You know,
are you higher on the young guys?
There's a few. I wouldn't say there's like...
Not too high.
No, yeah. There's a few.
You're not given potential points, right?
Yeah.
I think that's right. Okay. Start with 25. Who do you got there?
This is where I have DeMontis Sabonis. I like Sabonis a lot. Okay.
I like that a lot, because I was thinking about putting him on.
Yeah, and you had to just... I think like just as far as value on the court, we forget about how good DeMontis Sabonis is, what he does, and he's just a beast. It's hard to watch play against him because it's not flashy, but he just is like a dog on the court, so I really like Sabonis.
Yeah, he led the league in rebounding last year.
Beast.
He was on that Netflix series. If you watch that, he seems like a cool guy.
I want to watch that. It looks good.
Yeah. Okay, 25, I've got Trae Young. I'm wondering if you have him or not. I Trae Young's a guy that, like, he had the 1 year where he went a little bit further in the playoffs because some other guys in the East were injured. But he's a guy that I feel like is borderline a championship number one guy. Like if you build the perfect team around Trae Young, you might be able to win a championship just depending on how things fall. And so I don't know. I think Trae Young could jump a little bit after this year as well. But I think he's 25.
Okay. I don't hate that. I think you'll find out where he is, but he's definitely on my list.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll say. 24. This is where I put Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
First time on the list for me, for him, I mean. I just think he's such a valuable player defensively. I think you could make the argument he was probably the most important player on that Cavs team last year that finished with, what was that, second best record in the NBA?
Yeah, right behind the Thunder.
Second to only the champions. So just defensively, I think what he brings to the floor is just so valuable. So I like Evan Mobley.
I love that. And he's on my list as well. But number 24, I had J-Dub.
Okay.
Jalen Williams.
Interesting.
He's a guy, like, I think is a great scorer in this league. He was a great number two guy to Shea, but I don't know if I really feel like I can put him as a number one guy in the NBA as of yet. And I also feel because Shea is just so good, it makes J-Dub look even better.
He's a really good Robin.
Like, if he was on like a bad team in the NBA, I don't know if he would look as good as he does on the Thunder.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know. I put him a little bit lower than maybe some other people would, but I still think he's an amazing player. He should get extra points for being a good defender. I think he was on all defense.
Yeah.
Just a guy that definitely deserves to be on this list.
Absolutely. He deserves so much credit for that run too. Shea couldn't have done that by himself. It was good
as
he
was.
Does
that mean we both agree? Would you take J-Dub or Chet Holmgren as the second best player on the Thunder?
Definitely J-Dub.
Yeah.
Well, potential wise, I like Chet, but
right now,
yeah, I'm taking J-Dub for sure. Okay, it takes us to 23. This is where I think you said he was your honorable mention. This is where I have Ja Morant, 23.
Okay.
We're pretty close there. It's
just been so long since I've seen him. I don't really know how good he is as of right now.
This is like a potential one. I just have seen Ja just ball out. I hope he can get back to that. He can just put some of the nonsense on the court behind him and just play ball. That's what we want to see from him. So,
yeah, and I mean, Desmond Bane got traded, so now it's kind of more on more pressure on him to take offense.
Absolutely.
23 is where I've got Evan Mobley.
Oh, okay.
So not too far off of you. So I think we kind of feel the same way about him.
Yeah.
Defensive player of the year, great player. He's only going to get better from here.
Okay, it takes us to 22. This is where I have last year. I was looking. This guy was an honorable mention for me last year. But 22 is where I have Tyrese Maxey.
Me too.
Really?
Yep,
okay.
22. So we matched on that one.
Yeah, I like Tyrese Maxey. I think, I don't know. That's just such a talented roster. It'll be interesting if they can figure it out this year with VJ Edgecombe, but he's just waiting to be the guy on that team, I think.
I agree. I was a guy, I paid attention to Tyrese Maxey a lot because he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
I guess that's one reason to do it. He was injured a little bit during the season, but he was putting up like 25, 30 point games pretty easily.
He's a great facilitator too.
Yeah, he is. And I just think, honestly, because Embiid's been so injured, he's probably the centerpiece of the team to me. I mean, they got Edgecombe. We could see what he's all about. But I feel really good about Tyrese Maxey and where he's going in the future.
I'm guessing we'll talk about Embiid later. But if you were the 76ers at this point, do you still see Embiid as your centerpiece? Or do you think that like it's getting closer to time to move forward with other guys like Maxey?
Well, I don't know anything about his health situation right now because it seems like they're kind of keeping it
it's
quiet
pretty,
to see what happens.
Pretty secretive.
Trying to get season tickets sold.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of getting to the point where I am going to start giving up on Embiid.
I think so too.
And I mean, the Sixers have so many great players outside of him at this point that you could be a pretty... You're not going to be great the first year, maybe, but you could be a decent team in a year or two with Maxey, with Edgecombe.
McCain looked really
nice. You still
have
Paul George, even though he's regressing, but you've got some guys that you could be all right without Embiid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm starting to give up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And I think before the injury last year, you could make an argument that Jared McCain was the win of the draft last year.
That's right. I even forgot
and
about
so,
him.
So, like, you're looking at three guys there, three guards. I mean, Edgecombe could probably play up. Like, that's a solid group of guys you could build around, I think. So, I personally wouldn't be waiting around for Embiid anymore either. If he plays, he plays. But, like, we're just going to game plan other places, you know?
And I also think it hurt them a lot because their game plan does revolve around him,
it does.
That the other guys kind of were put in spots they weren't ready for.
Absolutely. 21, we kind of already talked about him, but this is where I have Trae Young. We're kind of in the same same idea with him. I think he's a great... I think he I was like kind of a Trae Young doubter, but last year I thought he played really well.
His stats were lower last year, but you kind of feel like he played better.
Yeah.
Which is so weird, right?
Well, that was kind of the argument with him, is that he's just like, he's kind of a selfish player. But I think last year whenever I watched him, I was like he's a good basketball player. He makes his team better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're looking for. So
yeah. What made, I guess, if you could pick one part of his game that made you put him higher than maybe I did or other people, what would you say is like the part of his game that puts him above a Maxi or a guy like that?
I think he's legitimately like an elite scorer, and we already knew that, but like I would put him up there as a scorer with like Steph Curry, like as far as his shooting ability. Like, he's so confident. Sometimes it takes dumb shots, but Steph does that too, and
he's averaging like 10 assists a game too.
Yeah, and he's playmaker.
Not many guys do that. I agree. I think his offense is just off the charts, best in the league. But his defense is questionable. Definitely. And then sometimes, like we've said, he can make some turnovers, or he can have a lot of pressure on him.
He would be, Trae Young, if he was on your team, he's the type of guy that people would love to root for. Just like the whole New York, like waving crowd goodbye and the cold cell. Anyways, I think he's a cool dude.
Love it. And let's see, we're on 21, right?
Yeah.
I've got Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, I forgot. Well, I probably wouldn't have put him on there, but that's a good one.
He's this 20 to 25 range, probably.
Yeah.
So maybe he should be one of your honorable mentions then, if you didn't have him.
Yeah.
He had a great season. Since Embiid went down, he's like a top three center to me after...
Interesting.
After, well, maybe top four. There's some other guys I'm looking at.
It looks like he was one of my honorable mentions last year. I was just trying to see where I put him.
Okay.
I think he probably took a step up this year, though. Maybe a little bit.
I feel like he played much better on the Knicks. Absolutely. It seems like he just kind of fit perfectly into that team.
I like that.
I know he always gets into foul trouble. His defense is sometimes questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the playoffs, when they needed a bucket, Karl-Anthony Towns was a guy you can rely on.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I like him. He seems like a guy that's a lock next year for 25 a game.
Absolutely. Well, that takes us to 20. I'm kind of scared to say this one. People might be mad about where I have this guy. 20 is where I have Donovan Mitchell.
Whoa. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. That's not the first time I talk about him, but I don't know if I'm like I kind of see him and Trae Young as like similar players to me. I don't think Donovan Mitchell's a great defender. I also think it's questionable whether like Donovan Mitchell actually contributes to winning like in the playoffs, which is kind of, I don't know. It's tough.
Dude, he's been a playoff riser. He always
for the first round.
He carries his teams in the playoffs.
For the first round, and then he loses in the second round. So
to be fair, I love Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I just think he needs to be a second option in the playoffs.
I think so too.
Because like as much as he like is a dog offensively and he does in the playoffs, he can't be the only guy.
But that's my question, is like, can Donovan Mitchell be a second? Like, I just don't see him as the type of player that would be willing or that could be that. You know what I mean? Like Trae Young couldn't be that, I don't think. Anyways,
We'll get to that. I have Donovan Mitchell a decent bit higher.
Okay.
You might be a little surprised.
I think that there's like a lot of talent in the NBA, and in my opinion, like the gap between like 10 and 20 is not that large for me. So
that's fair.
Like, you know, I think it's
Donovan Mitchell also made all NBA third team, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
First time in his career he's made all NBA. So he did have a good year.
Yeah.
But we'll get to him. I have him a little bit higher. This is where 20 is where I have Jaylen Brown.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
He's had a great year, but I honestly feel like he's kind of just the same Jaylen Brown he's been the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's bad of me to say. He's really good. He fits great on the Celtics, but like you know what you're getting from Jaylen Brown, and I don't feel like he's like moved the needle for me to put him any higher.
Yeah,
I agree. Other guys on this list have gotten better than last year, and I feel like are better than Jaylen Brown at this point. So Jaylen Brown's just kind of staying the same for me. Maybe that's just me not watching enough Celtics games, but
I think the interesting thing for me with Jaylen Brown is, like, last summer we were having a conversation about, like, is Jaylen Brown the number one option for the Celtics because of how he played in the finals? But then it's like, but you see him play this year and he kind of was the number one option a little. And it, like, makes you wonder, he's a great player, obviously, but is he actually number one option, or was he just balling out because there was a lot of pressure on Jason Tatum? You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
No shot to Jaylen Brown.
He's, not at all.
Fact that anybody on this list deserves to be here.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I just haven't really seen him impress me more than he has in the past.
Absolutely. Oh, that was, what was
20?
That?
20.
Okay.
So this is 20. This is 19.
19. 19, this is where I have J-Dub.
Okay.
I think, we're pretty close there, I think. I agree with everything you said. I think I kind of already said, I think he's a big part of their championship run this year. He had a game in the playoffs where he dropped like 40 plus that I just thought that, like, this guy's elite at what he does. And so I feel pretty good about putting him there.
Yeah. Same reasons as before. I agree. This is where I've got Joel Embiid.
Oh.
Maybe quite a bit lower than you, depending on how much you penalized him for being hurt.
Yeah.
I penalized him quite a bit for being hurt because, of course, he's an amazing player. Last year, he seemed like he barely could stay on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm questioning whether he will ever play for the Sixers again, honestly, because we haven't really even heard a confirmation of what's going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just at this point, like, I ranked this in the sense, like, how much do I want this guy on my team?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I want Joel Embiid on my team as much as some of these younger guys that are taking strides this past year, just because I don't know if I can trust him to play.
He's a frustrating one, too, because you're like, almost every offseason he complains about not having help, and like all the iterations of the Sixers we've seen, it's like, what else do you want them to give you?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they were one bounce away from beating the Raptors and maybe winning
it.
But
you had Jimmy Butler, you had Ben Simmons when he actually looked like could be one of the best players in the league. You've had this team, you had this last year. There's no excuse why that team shouldn't have worked out. So anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I don't know. I just don't know if I want Joel Embiid on my team in 2025.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so 18. This is where I have Devin Booker.
Ooh, that's lower for me too.
Yeah,
you just don't love the shooting guards.
Well, the thing is, looking at this list, some of the guys I have ahead of him, it's just the NBA just has so much talent right now. Like, I don't even, looking at this list, I feel pretty confident that he's not better than those guys, but I also feel like it's like, yeah, he's just a dog. I love Devin Booker. I think 18 is only because I don't feel like he's better than the guys ahead of him, really.
Yeah, do you feel like he deserved the contract that he got?
Yeah, I do think to some extent teams should reward loyalty.
I agree.
That was a loyalty thing for him and them. He loves playing there. They love him. So
yeah, and he's been a consistent all-star level player.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no shot he doesn't make it the last couple of years. So I do have him a little bit higher. We'll get to that as well. Same with him and Mitchell, I guess. next, I've got, this is 18, right?
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, okay.
Does that mean you have him a bit higher potentially?
Okay, well, I actually... no, I don't have him. I had him lower, and then I took him off for somebody else.
Oh, you took him off completely.
I forgot to put him to my honorable mentions, but...
Dang, okay, you're sleeping on my boy. I was wondering who you didn't have on here.
I think we had the same problem last year, because I think I put Kawhi at 20 last year, and I think you probably... If I remember, you had him higher.
He's dropped for me a little bit, we'll be honest.
Yeah.
From the one year to the next. But Kawhi, he's still a great player. Absolutely. He had that one playoff game, I don't know if you remember, where he went like... 12 for 12 or something.
Yeah, he's
a
beast.
And had like 30 plus. So like he's still got it. And so his trainers are telling us that he's going to try and play more games next year.
Yeah.
The Clippers are the oldest team in NBA history.
That's
I don't
wild.
Know if you saw that. So we'll see what he's made of next year at the Clippers. But I think he's still got it. Guy that plays both ends. Guy that can give you buckets no matter how you guard him. It's going in.
I think Clippers had a good offseason too. Like, adding Chris Paul's kind of a sneaky move. I don't think Chris Paul's like, he's not going to drop 20 and
yeah, don't 10 forget about
anymore,
Chris Dunn over yeah, there. He's a Chris great Dunn. Defender.
Yeah, but you got some guys in that locker room who are just know how to win. So
Brooke
it'll
Lopez
be interesting.
As well as a great backup center.
Absolutely.
So they're going to be dangerous in the playoffs.
I wouldn't want to play them, that's for sure. Okay, that takes me to 17. This is where I have, I think he's a newcomer on my list, Cade Cunningham. I think,
ooh,
I think he earned his way on this list this year.
I'm happy you have him because
yeah,
I think he totally deserves to be on here.
Absolutely. I think he's flirting with like being up there with best point guards in the league. I think the way he plays is just really... The turnaround that the Pistons had last year from the year before is pretty incredible. So
yeah.
I think he deserves credit for that.
What makes you put him above a Trae Young, maybe, to compare him?
I honestly think it's also a potential thing for me. Like, I like Cade Cunningham's size. Like, Trae Young to me and kind of Donovan Mitchell, those guys are so small that I wonder if there's even upside to become a better defender. But, like, Cade Cunningham can just, like, has the measurables for me that I think like he could be pretty good this year. I think
that's fair. I also would argue Donovan Mitchell plays taller because of
his
vertical. I don't know. I think he's been all right. He can play when he's got good defensive guys around him. He can
that's
be a
true.
Great team defender.
That is true.
But I agree. I think Cunningham, he just scores in so many different ways.
Yeah,
I could see him being a guy that like you literally can't stop him.
Yeah.
If he knows how to get to his spots.
Absolutely.
Whereas Trae Young, he kind of has to rely on his speed and energy. Cade can just use his
range.
Body and
yeah.
get his shots whenever he wants.
Totally agree. I like that. Who did you have at 17?
17, I had Anthony Davis.
Ooh, okay. That's interesting.
Anthony Davis is a guy I'm always a little bit lower on than like some of the analysts.
Yeah.
He just seems like he's one of the best defenders in the NBA. But then on offense, I've always been kind of questioning his shot the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's been great some games where like some games I could argue him as like number 7 on this list, but some games where like
yeah.
you forget Anthony Davis is on the court.
Yeah, he also forgets he's on the court, I think.
Yeah, so it's like I need some more consistency from Anthony Davis next year. Let me know you're on the court every night.
Absolutely.
But as for right now, I probably have him like, yeah, was that like 18?
Yeah.
17 or 18.
I think he can prove some things this year. I'll be excited to see what he does this year. 16, this is where I have Paolo Banchero.
All right, we match on that one as well. That's where I got him.
I also think there's an injury question here. I think he struggled with it a little this last year, but there was times this last year and the year before where he just like he was getting triple doubles and the Magic are looking like a much better team. I think they're going to make a big leap this year with Desmond Bain. So
did he make your list last year?
Paolo, I think he was 24 on my list last year.
So that's a pretty big jump, 24 to 16.
A big jump. Yeah. Yeah. I feel confident. I feel like he's also a potential still a little for me. I know he's been in the league a couple of years, but just the way he's built, he's an NBA player, like just long, mm-hmm. pretty much a center that can just do everything, which is what you want in today's NBA. So,
oh, I definitely agree. Yeah, I mean, I had him for the same reasons. He's a guy, he's been the best player on the Magic since he's got drafted.
Yeah.
Which is pretty insane to me. And I feel like each year he's going to get better. Eventually, I could see him becoming like a lock for top 10. He's the best player on his team. He's going to carry the Magic to being really great.
Totally agree. 15. I don't really have much to say about this. I feel like we've said it all. Anthony Davis, where I have 15. Or 15
okay.
where I have Anthony Davis. Kind of the same range. I think you had 17, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I want to see New Orleans Anthony Davis. I think he still has it in him, and I want to see it this year. So
I agree. And that's funny because I also have Cade Cunningham at 15.
Oh, okay.
So
flip-flop there.
We kind of have all those guys 15 to 17. That makes sense
yeah.
to me.
That's fair. 14 is where I have Jaylen Brown. What did you have him at? I can't remember.
Let's see, like 20.
Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I don't think there's a huge gap for me between and the 10s, but I love Jaylen Brown. It'll be interesting to see. He's definitely going to be the guy this year. He doesn't really have a choice. So he could prove some people wrong. He can prove that he deserves that massive contract he has this year, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hoping you have this guy on your list. But this is where I've got Tyrese Haliburton.
Yes. Okay.
The best year of Tyrese Haliburton was last year. Definitely. So if there's a year for us to be high on him, it's definitely right now.
Definitely.
What is this, like 14 is where I've got him?
I think I had him at 21 last year, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, so he's climbed on
sneaking
climbed
in there.
On our list.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's going to be injured all of next year.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of basing it off his playoff run. He's just one of the best like point guard stars we have in the NBA.
Absolutely.
It's so fun to watch him play. It's where one of the rare teams where your best player is your best passer.
Yeah.
Which hasn't really happened since like Steve Nash or maybe Russell Westbrook or James Harden.
Yeah.
But he's not even as much of a scorer as Westbrook or Harden. It's just cool to see like a team work so well together under Haliburton. So I don't know. I just love his game and how the Pacers operate. And he's without Haliburton, we saw what happened to the Pacers. So he's pivotal to that team.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Was that take us to 13, I think?
Yeah.
That's where I have Joel Embiid.
Okay. So not that much higher.
No. Yeah. I think we're pretty much in the same range there. I think pretty much all the things you said are right onward. At this point, it's like, I think when Embiid plays, he's going to have like a month this season where he averages 30 plus points and 10 rebounds. And we're going to be like,
oh, wow, this guy's great.
Yeah. We're
going
to be like,
and then you forget about him a month later.
We're going to be like, oh my gosh, is he back? And then they're going to have some minor injury that's going to last for 3 months. And I think he's capable of being a top five guy. I believe last year we both had him up there. I think I had him at 4 last year.
Yeah, I had him at 5.
So I think he's capable. Do I think he'll do it this year? No, I don't.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that fell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for my 13, this is where I got Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard you say his name yet, and I know for a fact he's on here
for
you.
It's coming. It's coming.
he's just a guy that, like, because he got injured last season, I don't think I got enough of a sample size.
Yeah, that's true.
But the level he played at last year would be higher on the list if he sustained it. But it's just for the fact that I've only seen a small sample size of like all-star Victor Wembanyama, I'm a little hesitant to put him above some of these other guys.
Yeah.
But he can totally come out next year, just play the exact same for a whole season. He's going to be much higher on the list for me.
Yeah.
I just need to see more from him.
Yeah, I'm right there with him. Let's see, that takes us to 12?
Yeah.
Okay, this is where I have Jalen Brunson.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's crazy to me that Jalen Brunson has taken this leap from being, like, I guess he was a second option in Dallas, but it was like a pretty far gap between Luka and everybody else on that team. But all of a sudden, he's, like, taking over games, like, some of those playoff series this year were so fun to watch because he kept them in it no matter what. And I just think he's an incredible scorer and a great leader. So
let me challenge you on this.
Okay.
Okay. So you have Jalen Brunson 12. Why is Donovan Mitchell so much lower than Jalen Brunson when they're both small?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think it just comes down to winning for me. I still don't think...
He did go much further in the playoffs. Yeah. That's fair.
I don't know. I think it's... Because I see Donovan Mitchell as like a pure scorer. And I think Jalen Brunson runs their entire offense. I guess that's the difference for me. I don't know.
That's fair. I think Jalen Brunson, to me... We'll get to Mitchell, but to me, Jalen Brunson and Mitchell are pretty similar.
Yeah, I can
in the
see
sense that.
That,
like, yeah, they're smaller guards, but they're like the best small guards in the league.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, this is, I think we're at 12, right?
Yeah.
This is where I've got Devin Booker.
Okay.
So I don't know, how low did you have Devin Booker?
I had him at 18.
18. So I've got him at 12.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not too bad of
not
a difference.
Too crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Devin Booker a little bit higher just because he's been, unlike some of the guys below him, Devin Booker's been consistent for 5+ years, and I know what I'm getting from him. And so I know that he's going to be one of the best scorers on my team. Mm. I know that he's been able to pass the ball fairly well and hit tough shots, and he's not a slouch on defense either. He's a little bit taller than some of those guys, but I maybe just overall I took him higher because of his longevity.
It's getting interesting because I feel like there's guys we're both leaving off that I'm like, how is this guy going on his list? Interesting.
Yeah, you're wondering like where there might be somebody I'm leaving out that I could be embarrassed in a minute, but I think I got everybody.
I'm sure we do. Yeah, I feel like the guys, as we get closer to the top 10, I feel like it gets more obvious who's in the top 10. It's just like the order is kind of.
Yeah.
Anyways, 11, I think it's where we're at. That's where I have Halliburton.
Okay.
I like him a little better than Brunson. I think one thing to add on to what you said about Halliburton, I feel like it was weird because in the finals, even the Eastern Conference finals, there was games where like, if you were just looking at the stat sheet, you wouldn't think that Halliburton was the best player on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you were watching the game, he was the best player on the floor. And like defensively, like playmaking wise, he was just making the right things happen on the floor. And I think I really like Tyrese Halliburton. I hope he makes a full recovery before playoffs.
He's the only player in the league like him. He's a one
else.
Of one.
Yeah.
Trae Young's kinda.
I can't even think of a like historical comparison for Halliburton. Like,
have you seen the memes that he plays like Steve Urkel?
No, that's funny though.
It's watch the video he does. It's kind of crazy. His like mannerisms on the court.
I like that.
From that's Family funny. Matters.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think 11, right?
Yeah.
This is where I got Kevin Durant.
Ooh, okay.
A little bit lower than you do.
A little bit.
He's getting old, man.
Yeah.
And last year, as much as like Kevin Durant played really good for the Suns, I'm just wondering, like, why weren't the Suns a playoff team if you are Kevin Durant and, like, you are a top 10 player? Like, you should be carrying the Suns to the playoffs. Didn't happen. So I just don't know if I can count on Durant to carry my team as much as some of the guys above him.
Yeah.
I know he can play great. And I think for the Rockets, it's going to be a lot easier for him to be the best player because Rockets were a playoff team without him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think because the Suns just weren't as good last year, I know he's injured and in and out of the lineup, but I just didn't see as much from Kevin Durant as I have in past years. So I put him a little bit lower than last year.
I like that. I actually had him at 10.
So not far.
Just to keep that conversation going. Yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. I will say I think that KD, partly on his own doing, has been in some organizations that just relied on him a little too much. Like when he went to the Suns, they traded away all their depth. And I don't think Bradley Beal fixed any of that. And then same in Brooklyn, they had a pretty good roster, and then all of a sudden James Harden wanted to come and they traded away everybody. And then you're putting all this pressure on KD. I think I'm excited this year because I think Houston somehow got a really good deal for him. They kept their all NBA defender. They kept their really good point guard, and Şengün's still there. I just think I could see him balling out this year. I'm going to be rooting for Houston this year. I like that roster a lot.
Dude, this might be a hot take, but I feel like last year on the Suns, Kevin Durant was just playing for stats.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like he did not care about winning games. If he did care about winning games, he would have been on his teammates, about making plays and stuff, but it just seemed like he wasn't the leader. He wasn't caring about winning.
Yeah.
He was just playing for stats.
That's what the all-time greats do. You'd never see Kobe was like holding his teammates accountable. LeBron does that. Jordan did that.
Yeah. And it seemed like he was like, I'm going to get traded at the end of the year. I just don't care about winning.
Going to play. Yeah.
Maybe that'll change this year with a new team. So
I hope so. Kevin Durant, when he's playing well, I think to me, he's the most entertaining player to watch in the NBA. I love watching Kevin Durant play, but it's not when he's playing selfish though, when he's actually playing the way he can play. I think.
Yeah. He might be a top 10 player of all time, but as of today, he wasn't a top 10 player last year.
Definitely not.
So then brings us to number 10. You had KD.
That was my number 10.
Okay. Yeah. So I had Jalen Brunson there.
Okay.
Not too far off what you had.
Yeah.
We've talked about it already. He's, he's the best small guard in the league. So yeah. He carried the Knicks team to the conference finals. We didn't think he could beat the Celtics. He was able to do that.
Yeah.
Could have beat the Pacers, but didn't. But I don't know. I just think Jalen Brunson is also a playoff riser. He's a guy I can trust in the playoffs and the clutch player of the year, I'm pretty sure, right? So he had his best year last year, which is why he's a little bit higher this year.
Absolutely. I like that pick. Okay, that takes us to 9. This is where it actually pains me to put him here. I'm trying to think where I put him last year. I guess I didn't put him that much higher last year, but this is where I put the GOAT, LeBron James.
Really?
I think...
You think LeBron's better than KD right now?
Yeah.
Not by much, probably.
Yeah, if I wanted to win a game, I'd rather have LeBron than KD, I think, right now.
He's a better leader right now.
I think we're going to watch LeBron's last year this year. That's my prediction. Will it be with the Lakers? I guess it's looking like it, but it seemed like he was grumbling a little. But I still love watching LeBron play. It's crazy he's still doing it, but he's slowing down for sure.
Yeah, and I also think Luka sometimes holds him back.
A little bit, yeah.
Because, you know, LeBron's at his best when he's got the ball in his hands.
There's no pick and roll with Anthony Davis like Luka. It's like not really the
same. Yeah, so I mean, I think last year... Maybe LeBron's a little bit lower just because Luka was on the team.
That's
And I guess that's nothing, no knock against Bron. We know what Bron can do, but it's just hard to have them play together and both be at their best.
Absolutely. Who did you have on 9?
9 is where I had Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
So let's see how big of a gap that was.
I thought
you got
20.
Him pretty low. So 20-9. That's a decent difference.
I want to say we had this conversation last year. Where did I have Donovan Mitchell?
I don't know.
I had him 16 last year.
I probably had him around the same range
last
year.
I'm guessing we probably, yeah.
So I had him higher this year and you had him lower this year.
Yeah.
I just love Donovan Mitchell personally, you know, as a Jazz fan. So there could be a little bit of bias in there, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But I also think Donovan Mitchell had a great season. He was All-NBA third team. He led in the regular season. I know the playoffs... They didn't win as many games.
Yeah.
But he also had Darius Garland injured and Evan Mobley injured. So it's pretty much all on his back.
Yeah.
They led his team to the number one seed. He's done that many years. You know, he can do that.
That's true.
And I think he's a better defender than maybe you give him credit for because he's got a good vertical. He plays bigger than his size where he can finish in the lane. He can have a high vertical where he plays a little bit bigger than what he actually is. So that's where I've got him, 9.
That's fair. I don't hate it. I really, like I said, I think there's so much talent in the NBA. I really, these lists are crazy because all these guys are like neck and neck. I think there gets some bigger
and
gaps
if anything,
at the top.
No matter where you are on this list, if you're on the list, we're not knocking you. We're praising you for being on this list.
These are the best 25 basketball players in the world.
We're just celebrating basketball right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where they land, right? But Donovan Mitchell's a great player. Love to watch him play. And that's why he's on this list.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Takes us to 8. This is actually where I have Wemby.
Okay. I forgot that you haven't said him yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So Wemby's a top 10 guy for you.
Yeah. Because I think that injuries are still the question. But the injury we saw last year was not. The injuries we're worried about. Like, we were worried about because he's so tall, his legs. But, you know, he had a heart condition. He couldn't control that, obviously. Sounds like he's good to play, which I don't think they would let you play with a heart condition unless it was resolved.
Yeah, and it seems like he's good now.
I think, like, the case for his defensive player of the year last year was getting kind of insane because he was averaging, like, a block and a half more than second place.
This Walker guy, Kessler.
Yeah.
Our boy was second place.
It's like, I think this year I'm really excited to see what he can do because he has a lot of help this year. And I think he's just going to ball out this year. If the heart condition stays good, I think we're in for a defensive player of the year at the least.
Oh, yeah. And I don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah.
I just had him lower because I didn't see him play a full season.
That's fair.
If he plays a full season and he's at the same level as last year, he's probably here at 7, maybe higher for me.
Yeah, probably way higher, yeah.
So definitely. I don't hate that at all.
Yeah. That's 8.
All right. Yeah, I guess eight. Eight's where I've got Anthony Edwards.
Oh,
a guy you haven't said yet.
I think we disagreed on this one last year too. I remember.
Right. I'll be honest. I wanted to put Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson above Anthony Edwards.
Ooh.
But I understood how good Anthony Edwards was.
He's good.
I saw him dunk on John Collins in person. And yeah. I don't know. The last couple of years, you just know he's got the dog in him. He's clutch.
Definitely.
He can lead his team. But I still want to see a little bit more from him. Because in the playoffs, when he went against the Thunder, they shut him down. And
yeah.
There was some games where he couldn't make a shot. And he kind of had to rely on Julius Randle to score. So
yeah,
next year, I want to see him be able to find the open man if he gets double teamed. And to be able to shake off a bad shooting night and finish off games strong.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like Ant too. What does it take us to seven?
Seven.
This is where I put Tatum.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how much we'll see him this year. Even if we do, I kind of get the vibe from the Celtics that they're just going to shut some guys down pretty early this year, I think. So I think we won't see Tatum a lot this year would be my prediction, if at all. So
do you feel like I feel this way. I feel like Tatum's sometimes a punching bag for people.
He is a little, yeah.
But he's a great player.
I think sometimes, not that anybody ever asks for that, but sometimes I also think he's like fishing for stuff on the internet. Like he like it's almost like the no press is bad press type
he's
thing.
He's a people pleaser.
Yeah, like the whole text he sent to Kobe and then posted. It was like, all right, bro, let's come on. Like it's kind of cheesy, but I get it. He's such a baller though. Like he could easily be number one if he has a good season. I think he's got that potential.
The thing with Tatum is he was on the Celtics, best team in the league when they won the championship. Really great team last year as well. If he was the number one guy on like a worse team. Like, if he traded places with Donovan Mitchell, I don't know if the Cavs are that much better.
Yeah, I agree.
But just because he's on the Celtics, he's able to take a team to a championship. So I feel like he is a number one guy if you have a good team around you. But if you don't, maybe not.
Yeah.
Kind of what I'm thinking.
That's like when you look at his resume and you're like, look how many times he's been to the Eastern Conference Finals. But it's like he was drafted to a team that already had Kyrie and Gordon Hayward and... Was he drafted with Isaiah Thomas, or was that was the year that Kyrie was there, I think?
Maybe. He dunked on Braun as a rookie. Yeah. You remember that?
But either way, he just had so much support as a rookie. It's kind of unbelievable. So,
he's like the worst number one guy in the league.
I think so.
which is still saying a lot. Which is a compliment,
yeah.
I would say.
Absolutely. He's better than the best second option. I will say that. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
This is sevens where I've got LeBron.
Okay.
So not that much higher than you.
About the same spot, yeah.
I couldn't put him too low. I don't know. I just know Braun, and even though this might be his last year, he's still a guy. If you ask me who you want on your team, I'm gonna take LeBron all day.
Absolutely.
Over a lot of those guys. I know what he can do in the playoffs, and he's shown that he hasn't really slowed down that much.
Yeah.
And even though Luka and him haven't been perfect match together, I still know how good Braun is, even if he has to play off ball. So
yeah.
I still have him a little bit higher.
And LeBron's unselfish. The whole thing where he was telling Luka to be Luka, like
even if it hurts his game a little bit.
Exactly. That's the type of player you want to play with, a guy like Luka, a guy that's willing to just take the back seat and be like, you be you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
In a couple of years, he'll pass the reins to Bronny, and we'll have Bronny on this list.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. Where are we at? Six?
Six.
This is where I got Steph Curry.
Okay.
I think it's kind of unbelievable what we see Steph Curry. He doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. I can't imagine he'll do it a crazy amount longer, but it's just starting with last year's Olympics and then just going into this year in the playoffs. It was kind of making me nervous that they were going to make a run just because of the level he's playing at. He is one of the most unstoppable guys in the NBA right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This is six is where I've got Jason Tatum.
Okay.
We had a long Jason Tatum talk.
We're kind of right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Same spot.
I won't have to elaborate too much, but he's number six.
Five's where I put Ant. I think.
Okay. I was a little nervous because I knew You had somebody extra that I didn't have still. Okay, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I'm a lot bigger on Ant than you are, but which is okay. But I just think I really like the way Ant plays. I still think if you look at Minnesota's roster, it's crazy that they're as good as they are. I think it's all due to him. I was a little disappointed with some things he did in the playoffs. I think he disappeared a little. I will say that I offer him a little criticism, but Anthony Edwards is up there with KD for me of guys I love to watch play. So
yeah, that's fair. So maybe you've got a slight Anthony Edwards bias.
A little bit.
But I mean, it's totally valid. He's
there.
He played amazing last year.
Yeah.
Five's where I've got Steph Curry.
Mm, okay, I respect
so
that.
So I think, in my personal opinion, you have to put Steph Curry over a Tatum and over an Edwards.
Fair enough.
Just because... You know, same thing as I said about Devin Booker a while ago, like, you know exactly what you're getting from Steph Curry. We've seen it for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
Wild. And he's having some of his best seasons in the last two or three. And also, you can't forget about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in the Olympics how good Steph Curry is. So even though in the NBA, maybe his team didn't do as well this year, you could argue that Curry getting injured is... And the Warriors doing so bad without him is a reason why he's so great too.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, if Curry's healthy, I think the Warriors could have beat the Timberwolves and maybe gone further in the playoffs. But
absolutely.
We'll never know because he got hurt. But
maybe next year.
Yeah, Curry's still one of them guys. Got him at number five.
Absolutely. Love that. Okay. So I will just say before I say my top four, I think like for me, like most of my top 25, there's not a huge gap. Like, it's probably a bigger gap as you go, but I think top four for me, there's a pretty big gap, in my opinion.
Okay.
Four is where I got Luka. I think Luka's just a special guy. I think if he actually does get in shape, we could be looking at MVP season this year, I think.
Yeah, I've got Luka at number four as well.
Okay.
I actually feel like Luka's a little bit lower than the top three guys to me.
You think so? Okay.
But that doesn't mean that he can't have a great season this year where he boosts himself up a spot or two.
That's true, yeah.
But I don't know. Luka's, he's just a guy you know can run the entire offense and lead you to a playoff. So
yeah,
I think Luka's, unlike Tatum, where we said maybe Tatum's the worst number one guy, Luka's a guy I think you could put Luka on a crappy team and he's going to make him a playoff team like,
absolutely,
immediately.
Absolutely.
And so it's just something special with him.
Yeah.
So even though I hate the foul complaining,
yeah,
please stop complaining, Luka. Like, that's probably the worst part of his game. He's still a really good player.
Luka's the type of guy that gives like the average basketball player confidence that they could be good because he's not like he's not flashy or like dunking on people. He's just like doing fundamental things really, really well. It's like,
yeah, you're trying to work on like your Euro steps and stuff.
Yeah,
to
like,
be
I could
like
do
Luka.
That step through. Like, I could learn that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, three. I think this is where we get interesting, but I got SGA at three.
Okay.
I think, like I said, I think these guys are all way better than the rest, but I just think SGA... I'm not a fan of the foul baiting, but man, he was incredible this year. I do think there was a really good argument for him as MVP. I mean, I know he did get MVP, but it was hard to make a case against Jokic for MVP, but SGA made a really good argument. So
yeah. Yeah, I think I also have Shea at number three.
Oh, interesting.
Last year, I had Shea at four, so now he's three. Like, it's not that much of a difference. I just put him
over
Luka.
I think I had him at six last year.
Oh, so you went up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm also with that. I think Shea, another guy, you put him on a bad team, he'll make him a playoff team.
Absolutely.
He's also, like, led the league in steals, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Up there in steals.
He's a good defender.
He also blocks a shot every game too, on average. So he's a pretty good defender. And I think the foul baiting is true, but I think it's a little bit... people make it more than what it is.
Sure.
I'm sure there's maybe like two or three fouls a game where it's a little questionable, but most of his fouls, he gets hit just like everybody else in the league. So I don't know. I agree with the foul baiting, but I think it needs to be... people need to chill a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's getting kind of out of hand for me because you got to get past the foul baiting. And then if you can do that, you can see that Shea's like one of the best pure scorers in the league.
That's true.
His mid-range is probably the best in the league, I would say. And he's got a much improved three-point shot, and he's going to drive to the rim like half the possessions he's there. So, yeah. And yeah.
His touch is incredible. He's
scoring 30 yeah. in three quarters.
Absolutely.
That's just what we've got here.
Yeah. Well, number two, I think I'm guessing we'll have the same two here, but I got Giannis.
Yep.
We just forget about how good Giannis is. Like we've, it's funny how like the voter fatigue thing happened for Giannis with MVP, but to like a level where we just completely like disqualified him from future conversations about MVP, and like he's just so incredible. Like I think the Bucks roster was pretty bad last year, in my opinion, and I think he the only reason they were in the playoffs and even won any games, or no, did they get swept? They got swept, right?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think so.
But the only reason they got to play us is because of Giannis. He's incredible. I don't even know what else to say about him there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. Giannis is great. If the Bucks lose out on Giannis, they're going to have a really bad...
yeah.
They're going to need to rebuild. But again, he's a guy I feel like you put on a bad team, he's going to make him a playoff team.
Yeah.
Arguably, I think that's what... the Bucks' current team is. Bucks yeah. are not a good team. He made them like a four seed.
Absolutely.
Four or five. So, I mean, imagine what he'll do with Miles Turner or with some decent players around him. I think yeah. he'll be a championship contender on any decent team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also, if it weren't for another guy, I think he'd have another MVP.
I think so, too.
If it weren't for this next guy.
Number one. In my opinion, I think Nikola Jokic is getting to a point where he's like flirting with some uncomfortable conversations about where he lies all the time.
Like, yeah.
Like the fact that realistically he could have won the last four, five MVPs.
That's like Kareem level yeah. of MVPs.
And he won a championship, so you can't hold like that against him. He could keep doing this for 5-10 more years. Like it's kind of,
I don't know about 10. Maybe it'll be 40 10, plus.
Maybe not 10, but
I could see him doing it for like 3 or 4 more years.
But it's just, yeah, he may not be the funnest player to watch, but holy cow, he is so good at basketball.
Yeah, I remember my first experience with Jokic, like really watching him, was when he played the Jazz in the bubble.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. We blew a 3-1 lead. Yeah. Just to get that out of the way.
I think I was on my mission, luckily.
Oh, thank goodness you were. But he was so good, and I got so mad at him for using his elbow against Gobert in the post. Yeah. But over the years, I've grown a little bit on Jokic and appreciated he has the best vision and passing in the league easily. It's probably just him and Luka mm-hmm. and everybody else. Like, they're just so great passing-wise.
Yeah.
Last year, he was 40% from three. He's touch at the rim is parallel to none. He's Absolutely. Got the best touch around the rim in the NBA. And also, like, he's not a slouch on defense either. His Nuggets team was like above average defense for the past little while. I don't know if you can say anything bad about Jokic. He's just a great player. And I would argue the Nuggets teams that he's had the past few years have not been that good.
No
all-stars aside from Jokic. Jamal Murray's been flirting with all-star. He's never got it.
No.
Gordon's no all-star. Porter's no all-star, but Jokic is good enough to carry those teams to be like a number one seed.
I totally agree.
And then I would argue if Jokic had a Thunder team around him, he probably would have won the championship yeah. this year.
Yeah.
Just with how good he is.
And I think it's interesting this year. I think it's the first year we saw it. Jokic show a little emotion. Like, it seemed like there's the jokes about how he doesn't really like playing. This is like his day job kind of thing. And he like is a horse racing guy, you know, but this year, like we saw some things on the bench where he's like frustrated when he comes out and they lose a lead. And like, he just comes in the game all pissed off and he's playing hard. And you're like, oh, this guy does care about this. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. You know, we haven't seen this before. So just incredible. It'll be crazy to see how long he keeps doing this.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if I've got him at number one next year as well.
Yeah,
but
honestly,
yeah, that finishes off the list, I guess.
It does.
I guess the biggest difference was probably Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, our lists were pretty similar.
We're pretty close, yeah.
Like, I think you could have like five guy ranges where you could kind of mm-hmm. flip-flop guys around and absolutely. It wouldn't really make that big of a difference.
Absolutely.
I had Embiid probably quite a bit lower than you.
And Anthony Davis, I
and
think.
And Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
But we were kind of in the similar tier, I think.
Similar ballpark, I guess. But yeah, I think that's good. I'm also excited. I think that, I guess maybe I'll ask you this. Which of your guys, maybe on the second half of the list, do you think could make the biggest jump?
This year?
Next year, yeah.
Well, I think if I had to pick one, I think it would be Paolo.
Okay.
I think. Like, I could see him jumping in the top 10. I think we got a lot of guys in our top 10 who are getting older. Like, we've talked about them already.
LeBron
obviously.
Could retire and not be on the list.
KD could be done. Curry could take a step back. It's only a matter of time. And Paolo's got help this year. So he doesn't, hopefully he can keep himself healthy because he doesn't have to put as much pressure on himself.
Yeah.
And I could see him having a breakout year. Who could you see?
Yeah, I like Banchero. Honestly, I think Trae Young.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if he'll be a top 10 guy. But I could see him jump. He's 25 for me. I could see him jumping to like 15 if he has a good year.
They had a good draft too.
And he's still like in his prime, and
yeah,
I think he could have a really good year.
So,
and maybe Evan Mobley as well. We'll mention
my
his
other
name.
One, Ace Bailey. He's gonna be top.
Oh
five.
Yeah,
top five after this year, I think.
He's gonna average 30.
I think so. Build the statue now. We're ready.
Yeah, I think I saw. I'll quiz you on this real quick. The NBA 2K ratings came out for the Jazz. What overall? You already know the answer.
I don't remember what it was.
We've got one guy that's an 84 overall and one guy that's an 83 overall.
Oh, okay.
Who do you think's the best? Or
the
84
Jazz?
And 83, yeah.
Okay, I actually didn't see that. I only saw Ace's video where he said it. I think Lowry's 83.
No. And
84.
Lowry's 84.
Guessing it's Walker.
Yeah, Walker Kessler's 83.
Yeah. That's probably accurate.
I think that's probably fine. I think Markkanen had a down year, but he could definitely propel himself back up. He probably should have been like a 90 in his best season.
Yeah.
But now 83 is probably about right.
They're usually pretty harsh on their initial rankings, I think, too. So I think 84 is a good place to start.
What's crazy to me is Filipowski's got an 80. I think that's a little high for him, but it seems like around the league, 80 is not that hard to get. Like, everybody's getting an 80.
I want to say, I saw Ace was like in the high 70s, right?
I didn't see him.
I saw something about that, I thought, but it's kind of interesting. Who could you see making the biggest ratings leap this year on the Jazz?
Ooh, I think Walter Clayton.
Oh, okay.
Because I've heard a lot of Jazz fans say, this is a good conversation. Maybe this will be one of our last ones today. Do you think Isaiah Collier is going to be able to keep the starting point guard position away from Walter Clayton? Because right now, I think Collier's got it. He had such a great year last year. But Clayton's a guy that he could be really good.
Yeah, he could.
And so I think he could be starting as what? He's probably like a 75 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what he is. But he could end the year as like an 83.
I could see it. I think Isaiah Collier's a project. He's still only, what, 19, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Walter Clayton's like in his 20s. He's like a guy who's ready for the NBA.
He's polished, yeah.
So I think, yeah, I could see him losing it. I could see it going back and forth all season, honestly.
Or they play similar minutes and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, honestly. I think they're both. I'm excited to watch that. I know you're not as high on Keontae either, but I think that's just going to be such an interesting dynamic. I'll have my eye on this year.
Mm-hmm.
See how that all plays out.
See if Keontae could be a more than a six man, or he's proven he can be a six man. Could he be more than that?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us on our episode today. A little bit of a longer one, but we're grateful for all of you who listened. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We've talked a lot about a lot of the guys we were just talking about in the draft and winners and losers. If you want to get more information about them, check us out, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Share it with a friend. We'd love to to reach more people. And take care.